once you get a sense from a client what their coaching objective is or what their business result they want to achieve is, then part of the skill of the coach is to know which assessment is going to give them the most useful feedback. And then you have a place to start working, because you're giving them some data, in effect, that says you're doing fine over here. This other area looks like it might not be as successful for you. How would that inform what you want to be coached on? And that's a good way to get started. And you're working from data as opposed to just both of us waving our arms as to what to do.
I'm talking today with Jim Cooper, founder of Ascendant Leadership LLC. Jim works with frontline leaders and high potential individual contributors to develop the leadership instincts, knowledge, and skills they need to serve their teams and enable their people to accomplish great things in their life and for their organizations. Welcome, Jim.
Thanks, Nick. Great to be here.
Now, Jim, your business mantra on your website states that business success is not just about the numbers. What do you mean by that?
Great question, and one that I love to talk about. I came from a background in sales. So in sales, there's all kinds of ways to say that if the numbers aren't where they should be, it doesn't matter what else you're doing. I like to take issue with that and pick at it a bit, because what generates the numbers are doing the right things and doing them because you care and you're passionate about them and because you know it's your responsibility to do them. So there's a lot of things that put together create the numbers, but oftentimes managers just focus on the numbers and not necessarily the supporting skills or knowledge or levels of commitment that drive the numbers.
So many people take kind of a short-sighted, narrow view of what they're doing and what they're trying to accomplish and how to measure it?
Yeah, exactly. And helping their people, first of all, be clear about how you generate the numbers, how you generate the business result. Depending on how long they've been in the industry or that particular position, they may not really know. And some supervisors and leaders don't really want to invest the time to teach them. They want to just say, just go do it. And that's easy for the manager, but not very helpful for the person that's trying to create the business result.
Yes, I recall my days in sales for a financial services firm where, just like the guy in Wall Street, walked around with the reverse directory saying, there's plenty of six-figure incomes in that book.
Right.
You know, it's the thing is, yeah, you can call all day long, but what are you actually accomplishing? And what is it costing your sales team, not only in terms of their time, but in terms of their self-esteem and so forth? If they're getting hung up on 19 out of 20 times, it's not good for their self-esteem. So I'm glad that you have this concept of it's not just about the numbers. And I think if more organizations understood that, I think they would have much more productive sales teams.
Right. I think it actually goes beyond selling. Because I came out of selling, I spent a lot of my time talking with salespeople and sales leaders, but it really applies to any team trying to accomplish anything. The better you invest in their understanding of the goal and them understanding how their specific subject matter expertise supports that goal, and then how to dovetail all those different bits of experience and expertise, that's what makes teams successful. Certainly that's true in selling. I mean, more and more selling isn't about smiling and dialing and doing a one-person close. It's almost impossible the way solutions are today. But again, it's not just selling. It really applies to any activity where human beings cooperate.
Yeah, thanks for expanding on that. Now, I see that you have an impressive client list that includes names like HP, MetLife, and SMU. What would you say has been the biggest factor in your success?
I think where I've had the most success were in clients and specific individuals where I had an opportunity and took the opportunity to really understand what that client or what that individual really needed. And I was able to create the relationship around the business requirement that made it possible for us really to work well together and help them achieve whatever goal they were trying to achieve. So combination of connection of need, expertise, and relationship between the consultant and the client.
I see. What's the best advice that you've received from someone in your business niche?
I think it really echoes a lot of what I said a second ago. I think the more time you spend in understanding the market, the specific business result, the specific coaching objective an individual might have, and getting to know that business or that person, all of that investment really pays off in doing a good job and creating a sustainable business. And I would say I've heard that not just from a single person, but it's really sort of the collection of a lot of good advice I've had from effective consultants and salespeople in my life.
So then that might be restated as the secret sauce that many in your industry miss is they are not taking the time to get to know their clients, and they're not getting to know the needs of those clients in a way that allows them to really make a difference?
I think that's extremely well stated. There's an assessment that the Gallup company uses to measure employee engagement and satisfaction with a person's employer. And the question I think is really powerful. What it states it really and asks the person to agree or not, it says, my manager has talked with me about my development within the last 30 days. And the reason I think that's powerful is that it implies a continued intentional commitment of that manager or leader to check in with their people, see how things are going, and to ask how they're doing with whatever development objectives they have. So there's a lot of good leading and good management and good caring for your people implicit in that behavior.
So what you do is you help management interact with their clients, meaning their team members, to get them to buy in and to implement and to be enthusiastic about the strategies that you help them put into place?
Yes. I think all kinds of good things happen as a result of that continued reinforcement. And I don't mean in a dogmatic way. I mean, it's best done naturally, almost like a conversation you and I might have every month. How's it going? What challenges are you facing? The last time we talked, we agreed that you were going to work on some specific skill. How's that going? Tell me about it. The manager who can weave that into a natural conversation, because they really believe that having that conversation will help their people, people are going to pick that sincerity up, and they're going to want to have that conversation with their manager.
Uh-huh. Well, speaking of challenges, what obstacles and challenges are you still working on at this point?
Right now, specifically, I'm working on continuing to refine the niche of customer types that I want to actively market to and find better and better ways of being where those people walk and talk and think so that I can get in front of them and present how I might work with them.
You know, that's the gazillion-dollar challenge that all of us in the advice and training business have, is really narrowing down to who will benefit from what we do. Do they need it? Do they want it? Are they willing to pay for it? And are they willing to follow through on the advice that we give them, which I think is a real challenge for people in the advice business? Because you've been to seminars where people get all fired up on Saturday and they fly back on Sunday, and Monday morning, it's back to the old habits. So I think one of the biggest challenges that I've seen in the advice business is getting people to continue to follow through and continue to work on whatever it is that you're trying to teach. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that I was taught flippantly, but very truly as a coach, is don't coach people who don't want to be coached. And I think it's easy to generalize that into don't advise or don't consult with people that don't want to be advised. That's one of the questions or discussion sequences you should have with any potential client is, do they really want the help, or are they just trying to put a check in a box and be able to say to someone, well, I did something. I involved a consultant. I involved a coach. It's really, how sincere are they in really wanting that change?
Exactly. Now, have you ever used polling or surveys in your business to try and drill down into what people think they want?
In the coaching field, a tool that we use a lot is a different types of assessment. If it's a leadership situation, we might do a 360 assessment and let other people give the leader feedback as to how well they're performing certain leadership competencies. It might be a different kind of an assessment for emotional intelligence or something else. But usually once you get a sense from a client what their coaching objective is or what their business result they want to achieve is, then part of the skill of the coach is to know which assessment is going to give them the most useful feedback. And you do that assessment, and then you have a place to start working because you're giving them some data, in effect, that says you're doing fine over here. This other area looks like it might not be as successful for you. How would that inform what you want to be coached on? And that's a good way to get started. And you're working from data as opposed to just both of us waving our arms as to what to do.
Right. So you have something to point to that's quantifiable, that is more believable than something that's just someone's opinion.
Right. And more motivational.
And more motivational. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. If you're giving them feedback from their peers or their leaders or whatever, my experience is they'll tend to be a lot more energetic about fixing that because someone is giving them feedback, even if it's anonymously.
Exactly. Well, with all the, as I call them, bright, shiny objects that come along in the way of new strategies and tactics that you could try, and we've all tried some or all of them, in your marketing or you as a coach in your methodology or implementation, what's the key practice or tactic that you keep coming back to that you know this is evergreen? Obviously, things need to be adjusted with the times, but you try this, you try that, and you say, well, you know, this is the key practice or tactic that continues to work, so I'm just going to keep coming back to it and keep refining it.
Certainly, there's always new articles to read, new cuts of things. I think, though, one of the things I was taught early on in my selling career was people buy things from people they like. And it's easy to rephrase that to say people are coached well by coaches that they like or that they have a good relationship with. Or it's best to consult with a consultant who feels like they understand you, but also that the two of you like each other. So I think it all comes back to the idea of coming across and being who you are as authentically as possible to the people you're dealing with. And you have to start there. I mean, anything else you build on top of that isn't going to be as effective if the underlying relationship isn't solid and both people aren't being authentic with each other. And you can come up with different ways to say it, and it changes generationally. A boomer might hear that differently than a millennial, but I think it still boils down to having that solid interpersonal foundation as the beginning of whatever you do from a business perspective with that person.
Yeah, that makes so much sense, and it's very, very true, I found. What does your next level of success look like in your business? Where do you want to go from here?
I think at this point, I'm happy continuing to see the business grow. I'm still working on what my business mix would be. But I think growth and then also satisfaction in seeing that my clients are satisfied and are coming back to me and telling me how they're succeeding with whatever we worked on and if they're referring me to others. So I think as I see growth in overall business size, but maybe number of referrals from past customers or things like that, I think that's going to give me a sense that I'm doing the right things and that the business is going to grow naturally from that.
Absolutely. So what advice would you give to a person who's considering entering your field?
I think people that are attracted to the idea of coaching have to ask themselves, are they really genuinely service-oriented and wanting to help other people succeed? And not everybody can say yes to that, but I think as someone who's considering coaching, that has to be question one and answer one. Really, it's a service and a helping profession. They have to want to help people in ways that are meaningful to that person.
Is there any background or previous experience that is more favorable than another in that regard in terms of helping people? For example, someone who was a teacher of some sort would make a better coach than someone who was just a salesperson or an engineer? Or does that really more the person's basic personality type that determines that and not specifically what they did before?
To some extent, it's both. I think the attitude towards service, I think, is more foundational than whatever your background is, whether you're a teacher, an engineer, a doctor. Although I think most coaches will find that the niche, the specific mix of customer occupation, age, type, is influenced by what they've done previously in their life. And I think that coaching customers, even though theoretically the coaching profession is subject matter expertise neutral, in fact, they actually try to make it that way so that you're not too involved in the issue and not the coaching process. But people want to know that you understand them and their business. So I think there's a natural preference among coaching clients to want to be coached by someone who understands their business or understands their issue, whatever it is. So I do think subject matter expertise plays in it. I think the challenge for the coach, though, is to coach from a repeatable and proven coaching process and not to rely too heavily on the subject matter expertise. Otherwise, they become a consultant. And most coaches that I know of are good at moving gracefully but also intentionally between coaching, consulting, mentoring. There are different roles, and the client may need and want a different role at any given moment. I think the good coach is the one that keeps it straight what hat they have on, asks permission to put that hat on, wear the hat for as long as it's useful, and then go back to coaching.
That's definitely good advice. So you mentioned subject matter expertise, and that's kind of a hot topic in the world of marketing these days. Do you have a path that you take people down to make them into a subject matter expert, so to speak, to draw out their knowledge and expertise in a way that demonstrates that they truly are an expert?
As a coach, I'm probably not going to be working with them to help them build their expertise, because that's beginning to sound more like being a consultant. I might work with them to find resources to help them build subject matter expertise in a particular field or form of expertise. And maybe if I put the consultant hat on for a minute, I might actually teach them something relevant to whatever it is they need. But that's not really my primary function as a coach.
Are you helping people establish their own thought leadership and subject matter expertise? And when I say help, are you coaching them? Are you bringing them along? Are you critiquing what they do? Or are you simply, as you say, you're saying, well, here are some resources you can use to go out and establish yourself? And I think you answered that question for me.
Well, actually, though, you bring up a good point. The whole point of coaching is, first of all, to help the client you're working with get very clear about what it is they want to change in their life. And with that clarity, then the next set of questions become, if you made those changes, how would it help you? And then the next set of questions after that is, what barriers are there, or what things would we have to work around in order for you to achieve that goal? And then the last set of questions is, what exactly are you going to do in the next week or two that move you in that direction? So there's this notion of accountability, helping the client hold themselves accountable to a plan of action. So all of that's in the coaching process. So the coach elicits all that by asking well-targeted questions that are relevant to whatever the coaching objective the client presented with. So you're letting the client solve it, but you're helping them by asking questions and letting the right things come up out of their own expertise or their own background, and then they're going to be much more likely to act on it because it's their strategy, not one I've forced on them.
That's a great point. That really is. And if you can accomplish that, you've been very, very successful, I think.
That's the art of coaching.
Absolutely. What is the best way for people to contact you?
they're certainly welcome to visit my website, www.ascendantleadership.com. If someone wanted to look me up on LinkedIn, Jim Cooper Ascendant gets it. And that would be another place that they could find out more about me and the company.
Okay, yeah, that's a great idea. Okay, well, thanks very much, Jim, for spending time. And I appreciate it and wish you continued success in your business.
Thanks very much, Nick. I really enjoyed it.